Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. I'm Adam.
I'm Mr. Badger.
And we're going to watch the Sarah Jane Adventures that has Matt Smith in it, called The Death of the Doctor. And then I'm going to come. Do you want to sit up here, Isabella? You've just been awkward then, aren't you? So the story opens with another view of Luke on the Skype link, I suppose you'd call it, chatting to and winding up Clyde. And then Mr. Smith is starting to making funny noises. Ah, units are turning up on the doorstep of Sarah Jane and Bannerman Road. I've got one of those caps. Isabella, do you want to sit here? No? Okay, fair enough. And then the gorgeous Layla turns up. It seems that nowadays the chief soldiers of UNIT are women. Internal Tia Kareen, who's just about to deliver the news that the Doctor is dead. Sad, isn't it? Yes, the Shan Sheath, the protagonists in this particular story. A Shan Sheath is an alien race that is typical of Russell T. Davis, a sort of name anyway. They are sort of turkey-like. So maybe he was originally considering this idea for a possible Christmas special. It is a shame that K-9 couldn't have been made available for this story. So the team head off to a funeral, the funeral of the Doctor. There's lots of sort of relationship sort of play and scenes in this story, which again is very typical of Russell T. Davis. When Rani finds out that the Doctor is dead, she runs home to give her dad a cuddle. And then we see the base of UNIT, which is probably one of the worst painted-on bases since the classic series of Doctor Who. Both me and Alicia, when we watched it, thought, God, that looks naff. So, a bit disappointed with that. I mean, the idea of it looks really good, but the actual way it's represented on screen does look a bit bad. Reminiscent of the Star Trek scenery from 1960 blur. And notice that Layla's character, the unit character, has now got her hair down, which doesn't look really in fitting with the military uniform. Not too sure lady soldiers are allowed to have their hair hanging around their shoulders with a beret on while they're on duty. And then we get the wonderful little aliens. The Grosk, yes. Again, he's explored this sort of thing with the little Terra Macellata, or whatever it was called, in the Voyage of the Damned. And, of course, End of Time. Interesting that they're making Clyde, who is a black character, throw colourist insults at a little blue character. I don't know if that was meant to be ironic or not. And the fact that the Grosk seems to inquisitively know that the Doctor is coming. Again, that's typical Russell T. Davis. It's lovely that the scene when Sarah's starting to believe the Doctor is dead, and she says she doesn't know what he looks like, and she thinks he regenerated because the last time she saw him, he gave her a certain look, which I thought was quite nice seeing that. Now the Shan Sheath are trying to get the three of them to close their eyes and remember the Doctor, and then we get flashbacks of David Tennant. Sarah sees Tennant's last time she saw Tennant's Doctor wave at her before we went off and regenerated. Rani sees the Doctor in various clips from the last time he appeared in the Sarah Jane Adventures, as does Clyde. And it's nice to see the 10th Doctor appearing in a story which obviously mainly has the 11th Doctor in it. And Clyde's starting to realise what the little static electricity on his hand was. Now Sarah sees the fourth doctor, the fifth doctor, third doctor, fourth doctor, and the third doctor. And then the magnificent Katie Manning arrives as Jo Grant, having just knocked over a vase of lilies. And of course she has to arrive with some handsome young gentleman, allegedly her grandson. Lovely introduction between the two of them. It's a lovely gag where the lad says he's called Santiago and he's born at the foot of the Andes, and Clyde says, well, he should have called you Andy. I think all these conversations are between where the characters get introduced. If you're not a long-term Doctor Who fan, you might probably find it a little bit boring. Obviously, as a Doctor Who fan, they're absolutely fantastic. I mean, a classic series Doctor Who fan rather than a new series Doctor Who fan. A Doctor Who fan familiar with Sarah Jane Smith and Jo Grant. And it's quite nice where Sarah realises the Doctor came back to see her, and Jo's clearly upset that the Doctor never came back to see her. And then Jo mentions the planet Peladon, and Sarah can't resist the temptation to say that she saw the beast Agador, and they exchange a hug. So that long sequence of reminiscence has finally come to an end. Another flashback to Sarah Jane's wedding, where Clyde explains how he ends up with this sort of Archon energy, which is the static electricity that's emanating from his hand. So we finally discover the Shanxi are plotting to use the memories of the Doctor's old companions. And they play their little harp music, which then somehow evokes memories in both Jo and Sarah, or should I call it Sarah Jane. Drasig, Axon, Zogron, the Dalek, says Jo, all put in the classic Doctor Who fan. Meanwhile, Clyde spies what they're up to through a grill. But naturally, they get discovered when Clyde's hand starts glowing. And they have to shuffle backwards through the conduit, which looks wide enough to actually turn around in. And of course, then that distracts the Shanxi from extracting all the memories from Sarah Jane and Jo, which would have subsequently killed them, apparently. And then they all bump into each other in the corridor. Fantastic. And then we hear Matt Smith's voice through the mouth of Clyde. What begs the thing, why would the Doctor just pick Clyde out of the blue? I don't quite understand that, but it's great where Clyde sees that one of his hands is actually white. And then a great scene in which Clyde morphs backwards and forwards between himself and the Doctor. And then the Doctor appears, wearing a very light blue shirt. So I don't quite know what's happened to his costume. Don't know if that's going to be a permanent change. Personally, I preferred his Series 5 costume. Clyde is now in a very strange quarry. Sarah instantly realises it's the Doctor. And I love this scene. That's quite a funny bit where he says that last time he saw Jo, she was 21, 22, and now it looks like someone's baked her. And then the cliffhanger approaches. When we saw this first time around, Alicia said that it's obvious the way the Doctor gets out of this is it looks like he's reaching for his sonic screwdriver. So we'll see in the next part, which I'm just about to put on. But the cliffhanger is actually stopped when the Doctor swaps places with Clyde. And the classic, run! And then they swap places again. Does he say, come along, Smith? Pretty sure he says, come along, Smith, to Sarah Jane. And we've discovered that the Shansheath have taken the Doctor's sonic screwdriver. And then they swap places again. And then we see the Doctor, Sarah and Joe on an alien world which thrills Sarah and Joe no end. Which, I'm going to say, the alien world is rather beautifully realised. Even though it's quite clearly a quarry. And once again, the kids are trapped in some room and then rescued by the little blue bloke. While the TARDIS then appears behind the curtain in the possession of the Shansheath, who are preparing their final culmination of their plans. A thing called the Weave, I believe. Back to the planet, and the Doctor is gaining the use of Sarah's sonic lipstick to help him fix the machine he's trying to use to get back to Earth. Now the Doctor talked about Amy and Rory, who have been dropped off at a honeymoon planet, so that at least that explains it. Now a lovely scene between Katie Manning and Matt Smith ensues. The Doctor tells Cho that he has been watching her from afar. This is very similar to the scene where Sarah meets the 10th Doctor in the school reunion. But nevertheless, it's a beautiful scene. He says, how could he ever find Joe, even though obviously he did? But he was able to find Clyde quite easily. So, slight contradiction there. Love the way he said the last time he was dying, he looked back on all of them, every single one. And he was so proud of them. It's an absolutely lovely line. Brilliant. I love the bit where he says, Joe goes, it really is you, isn't it? And he sort of smiles and goes, nods his head and goes, hello. Very Doctor. Brilliant. So there are lots of questions answered in this story regarding certain sort of bits about the Doctor that maybe have been questioned in the past. Joe's questions about the Doctors are answered. Sarah has several questions about him in regards to his regeneration that are answered. And of course the big regeneration limit question is answered later on in this episode, which I'll refer to in a minute. And once again the gears are trapped. And then they turn the heating up with some orange lights. Meanwhile, the Doctor's finally got round to fixing his transportation machine. Just in time to possibly rescue the kids. And another conduit gets crawled down. This time, instead of sending Sarah down the ventilation shaft, as in the Ark in Space, the Doctor goes down it himself, and then Joe is caught by the Shansheath, and he has then a choice to either go back and help Sarah and Joe, or go in and help the kids. Of course, he makes the decision to help the kids. And then we get the sort of reveal that what they're going to do is use the memories of Joe and Sarah to recreate a TARDIS key. Don't quite know how that works, but nevertheless, that's what we're going to do, so they can then get into the TARDIS and use it to stop all death, which is very noble, but apparently would completely destroy the universe. Meanwhile, the Doctor rescues the kids. The Doctor says that they need to turn around, and Clyde said he needed to shuffle backwards. He had plenty of time to actually turn around, but never mind. This is where Clyde asks the Doctor if he can be black, and the Doctor says of course, obviously that opens up that particular possibility, and then the Doctor says that he can regenerate 507 times. Interesting to note that the Shanshis obviously have wings that are hidden by the cloak at their back. They also have hands as well. Or are their hands really their claws? Or if that's the case, what are they walking on? But they are very well realised alien, I have to say. They really do look quite good, if not a bit daft. It's very unusual to have evil aliens who actually want to do the opposite to what evil aliens normally want to do, which is cause death. Apart from the fact they don't really mind the fact they're going to kill Sarah and Joe, and the kids maybe, and the doctor, they want to actually stop death. So, another contradiction. Fact is that they said about the endless weeping that will be ceased when death is ended. What about the endless weeping for the doctor? Mainly from Doctor Who fans, of course. Music on this story is very, very good. Again, sort of typical of a Russell T. Davis story. And gradually, the ladies can't help themselves but to think of... Well, all the doctors. Actually, we've got flashbacks of the 10th Doctor and then the 4th Doctor in two TARDIS console rooms. Then we have the 1st, 2nd and 3rd Doctors inside the TARDIS. It's great to have those little flashback scenes in Sarah Jane Adventures because it will evoke sort of curiosity in some children to actually go and watch some of the classic stories. Meanwhile, the key is starting to take shape in midair above the TARDIS. Well, it's actually in front of the TARDIS, but on the screen it looks like it's above it. The Doctor then realises what they're doing and how he can actually salvage the situation. They're trying not to remember the TARDIS. He tells them to remember as much as they can, obviously with a view to overloading the machine. So then, of course, we have a glorious Russell T. Davis sort of spiritual moment where they all very happily and joyfully remember all their times with the Doctor. The dropped-in mention of Mesobelis 3 by Joe was really nice, considering Sarah went there. The flashbacks are too numerous to actually commentate on at the moment, but they're still, nevertheless, lovely to see. Interesting how she showed a flashback of the character that Ian Marta played in Carnival of Monsters and not the character of Harry, which was actually mentioned earlier in the story. Clyde then tells Sarah to remember all the stuff they've done as well. But that's got nothing to do with the TARDIS, so I don't quite understand what is going on about there. It's all very nice to see, but I think slightly irrelevant to the story. And then great to see when Joe wants to remember her sort of adventures around the world, we see some good old stock footage from BBC natural history programmes. And then the Doctor realises they're trapped in the room and the whole thing's going to blow up. But fortunately his coffin is inside the room and he's able to get Sarah and Joe to hide in the coffin. But never mind everybody else in there. A funny scene where they open up the coffin and they're all hugging and kissing each other inside, well, Joe and Sarah. And then we're back in the attic with Mr. Smith and the TARDIS materialising. So Clyde and Rani have actually travelled in the TARDIS now, which makes them sort of semi-companions. Oh, of course, Santiago as well. This scene coming round, it did rather sort of imply that Santiago was going to be joining the team. Apparently the TARDIS still smells the same, according to Joe. Joe said she couldn't keep up with him anymore because he'd probably get him into trouble with the Time Lords. Obviously, doesn't know the Time Lords don't exist anymore. Yeah, so Dr. Rather arrogantly says that if he does ever die, that the whole universe would probably shiver. That's very Tennant Doctor, that is. And then the TARDIS leaves. And we have... really, which is really the end of the story, but we've got to have another 5 minutes of people saying goodbye to each other. What I haven't mentioned, there's a scene at the beginning of episode 2 where Sarah asked the doctor if it hurts, and that last regeneration, did it hurt? And the doctor says, it always hurts, which rather proves my point, as what I was saying when the doctor was saying, trying to sort of draw out his regeneration, and I was saying, and I don't know if it was a previous episode of this series, that it must be very agonizing to change your body to regenerate, and if you're unconscious, obviously it's something that you probably don't feel, but if you're standing up in the TARDIS and you're regenerating, that's going to hurt. And that rather proves me right, so that was a rather rewarding scene for me when they had that little conversation. So that rather concludes my sort of semi-commentary on the magnificent death of the Doctor. And in a moment we'll hear Alicia's views on it.
This is Mining Vessel Radio Rassilon, transmitting to Nerva Beacon. This is Mining Vessel Radio Rassilon, transmitting to Nerva Beacon.
This is the Radio Rassilon podcast. Has anything occurred this week?
Has anything occurred? I found Jesus.
Oh, where did you find him?
He was in a bin outside Budgeon's.
Just in case you're wondering, this is a Doctor Who podcast.
Dun, 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 dun,
I do like the Davison era TARDIS. I like the console, especially in the Five Doctors where he was giving it a good old buff.
So that leads us nicely on to an email we've had.
What?
Another email?
What?
What do you like best about the Master?
The chocolate veins.
The chocolate veins?
Yeah.
What are they called again?
The chocolate veins.
You're struggling for a point, I can tell.
It's like mutual masturbation.
Oh, God. I thought you were going to say musical chairs.
Radio Rassilon.
It's Bumpet Evil.
Yes, that's the Radio Rassilon podcast, which is probably the second funniest podcast produced in the United Kingdom, only slightly behind the Udcast, but still listen to it because it's absolutely fantastic. I'd like to apologise for the sound quality or the intermittent sound quality we've got on this show, because I've got a brand new computer recording with the same software, but not necessarily the same hardware, because the inbuilt microphone on it is not as good as the one that Alicia uses, so I'm using a different method of recording now, which is actually a camcorder. Fed through a music system into my new computer. So let's hope this works. Now, as you may have noticed, if you've been listening to every single show, we've been on holiday to Southport / Blackpool, because we spent 4 days in Blackpool, then we moved to a hotel in Lancaster, from which we commuted to Blackpool. And while in Blackpool, I went into the shop called Who, or known better as Who Blackpool, which is absolutely amazing. It's quite a huge shop with various cult memorabilia, merchandise for, you know, shows like Star Trek, Star Wars, and lots of other things, actually. So, and of course Doctor Who. I was very lucky to get some time with a very busy manager, who I was thankful to get this interview with. And here we are in Who Blackpool, and I'm with your manager, aren't you?
Hi.
What's your name?
Oh, sorry, Dave.
I'm just interested in the history of the shop, because I've been coming back and forth for many years, quite a few years. It used to be down the road, didn't it?
It did. We've been here about, I think this is our 9th year now, going from strength to strength, getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, I've noticed how much busier it is now. Has that got anything to do with the being on the Blackpool Monopoly board?
I think it helps. It solidifies us. We're the first independent toy shop to get on a Monopoly board.
Yeah.
And it's quite a rush, actually. It's quite cool. Yeah, it does. And we're also the biggest independent toy shop in the country now, yeah, as well.
Because the shop's called Who. I mean, that implies to Doctor Who fans, perhaps, that it's sort of about Doctor Who. Did it start off as mainly Doctor Who and just sort of branch out into other areas?
It did. It started off as Doctor Who, and then we brought in Star Wars and Star Trek, and before long we were doing everything. But Doctor Who's where the heart laid. That's why, in fact, 30% of the shop is Doctor Who, and then the rest is everything else.
Yeah, because I'm going to say, now we haven't got the exhibition in Blackpool anymore, it seems to be the only sort of place for Doctor Who fans to sort of come pay homage to, you know, sort of memorabilia and things, really.
It is, yeah. I fill the shop full of life-size props and props from the series and things, and we've actually got a an exhibition starting next year in February of all props from the series going upstairs. And it's free entry and people come in and enjoy them. It's better to share them than keep them in boxes getting dusty.
I mean, I also noticed from one of your leaflets you have stars coming in here and doing signings and things.
Yeah, you've just missed a bumper 6 months. We've had somebody every 2 weeks for the last 6 months. We're going to start up again in January or February, which is when we just get some more time and energy to do it and get it organised. Every day or every other day we're contacted by a different celebrity who wants to come while they're in the area, or you know, if they wanted just to market the book or something. So it's quite good, people coming to us rather than us going to them.
Well,
so
it's nice to know that it's going from strength to strength, because obviously with, like I say, exhibitions shutting down, and you know, as Doctor Who fans, we want the Doctor Who businesses. And the podcast itself is sponsored by three from the Isle of Wight, and we've got a shopping ride on the Isle of Wight called Who Won, and they got their own site, their website and shop, little shop, much smaller than this, which is dedicated to Doctor Who, a few other items here and there. But it's just, you know, it's very important, I think, for fans to sort of have. I mean, obviously I looked at the other things here, the Star Wars and all that, I think absolutely brilliant, and it's nice to have a sort of dedicated area. Have you got any other stores other than Blackpool one?
No, this takes up all our time. It's a 24 hours a day job, this, keeping this running and keeping it organised. And then there's the websites as well.
What is the website?
WhoBlackpool.com. We've also got another one, RetroActionFigures.com, which does all the second-hand retro action figures.
Have you got any favourite items in here? I see the three Daleks over there, that's fantastic. But I mean,
to be honest, my favourite is the 11 Doctor set.
Yes.
The classic. It's just a classic. It's just probably the pinnacle of Doctor Who collectibles, that. The only thing missing from it is a Dalek and an Earthshock Sadman, then it'd be perfect.
I think perhaps they might have to release, or probably will release, a sort of alternative version with alternative costumes and things, as I know people are saying about the Baker costumes, not their favourite.
Yeah, well, I think the 50th anniversary is just around the corner, so who knows what's going to come there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm imagining, I mean, there's nothing to be confirmed, but I imagine there'll be a Dalek set and a Cyberman set, a whole set of them changing through the years, I reckon. I think not next year, the year after, it's going to be really, really...
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
There's a few whispers of it.
Yeah. I think that's why this year's been quite held back. I think they're holding back to push everything out for the 50th anniversary.
Of course, yeah.
And I think don't forget, there's also the new Paul McGann outfit as well has just been released.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that?
No.
Have you not? He was at a convention last weekend wearing it. It's basically a leather jacket with a man bag, and it's got a brand new sonic screwdriver designed by Weta, which is more like wood, like steampunk.
Is this basically for the covers of the Big Finish?
Yeah, well, apparently Paul McGann's got fed up wearing the same outfit, so he went to the BBC, and the BBC designed him a new one.
I didn't realise he'd taken new pictures for those covers, or they were just like...
No, it's pictures. Just the same pictures from TV movie, the same 20 pictures over and over again.
On wig as well, is it?
Well, no, he wasn't wearing the wig at all in this new outfit. It's quite different. It actually does look a cross between the 8th Doctor and the 9th Doctor.
Yeah, I was quite interested, because obviously... he doesn't have to have the same haircut, does he?
No. It's a bit strange, though. They've never done it for any of the doctors, actually. But... I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that it's so people get used to it, so that if he does a turn up in the new series,
he
fits in. And he fits in without looking weird.
I think with looking at the actual story itself, it was Sylvester McCoy's doctor had quite long hair, and obviously he would have regenerated with long hair, and he never got his hair cut, so he could get around it that way. I know he's always depicted with long hair and all the drawings and stuff.
He looked quite good. Because, you know, the old doctors are really brilliant, but in the new series, they stand out. They look a bit out of context, whereas I think this introduces a more realistic outfit for the new series, if that makes sense. And I think he would blend in perfectly.
I really hope that they do some sort of drama production with him. Bring for the anniversary, bring him into it somewhere along the line.
I know the last anniversary program wasn't very good, was it? Adventures in Time. But I love the five doctors, though.
Obviously.
I don't know how much they can bring in from the old doctors, to be honest.
No, but McGann, I think, is one they can bring back, definitely. Anyway, thanks, sorry. I know you're very busy. I'll let you get on with your time.
Okay,
anything else you want to plug?
Just come visit us in Blackpool on Coronation Street, or visit us on the website www.whoblackpool.com.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
What do you think? What do you think of this shop?
Beautiful.
What's your favourite thing here?
Doctor Who,
okay then. Shall we have a look round? Okay, right. Cheers.
Hi, I'm James from the Unearthly Child podcast. My podcast is about how I, a teenage fan, discover classic episodes of Doctor Who, as well as commenting on the new ones. So if that sounds interesting, go to my website at unearthlychildpodcast.com or just find me on iTunes.
Can And that's James right there from the Unearthly Child podcast, another podcast which is well worth a listen and quite impressive because of the fact he actually does it on his own. Obviously, I'm on my own at the moment, but I'm planning to do the latter part of the show with Alicia. But it's so nice being able to speak without anybody interrupting me. Sorry if it's not as entertaining as normal, but oh well. Anyway, yes, talking of James Wright, who is a teenager, another podcast run by a teenager is the Who Is The Man podcast by Reese Parton. And I was thinking, if you two are listening, have you ever thought of combining your efforts and doing a show together? Because you're of a similar age, a similar opinion to a certain degree. I think it's worth a try. That's my thought on it anyway. Right, before we actually have the real Alicia from 2010, I thought it might be a good time now to take a trip back in time and listen to our latest little snippet from Doctor Whovian.
Hello, I'm Adam.
And I'm Alicia.
And this is the Doctor Whovian mini-podcast, episode 5. Now, we are here to review the Sarah Jane Adventures second story, which I think was called something like The Eye of the Gorgon. Alicia, your opinions, as it's a children's programme?
I think it was quite good because it's got some mythological, you know, so kind of schoolwork. So I've done work on Greeks. It was quite good because one of the reasons with how it turned to stone and how that old woman got brought back from stone is really good.
An old woman got brought back from stone. I remember the father.
No, the old woman did, because the old woman had the thing.
She had originally been brought back.
Yeah.
I see. And how many TARDISes out of 5 would you give the first part of the story?
I'll give it 8.
Out of 5, you're going to give it 8.
Oh, yeah, 5. No, I mean 4.
Okay. Well, as it was slightly better than the previous story, I'd probably agree with you and give it 4 out of 5. How about the second part of the story?
5.
You liked it that much?
Yeah, I like the second part.
Well, I particularly like the fact there was no mention of the Doctor. It was a fast-moving story, a bit of horror in it, good special effects. I'll give it 4.5, the second part of the story. I don't want to give it a 5 yet because it's difficult when we haven't seen the rest of the series and we don't know, you know. But it was better than the pilot and the best thing we've seen so far. So, and as far as the whole story is a lump sum, or how many points do you give the whole story out of 5? Thank you, Magic. Be quiet. How many TARDISes out of 5 to give the whole story?
5.
And I'll stick with my 4.5. Very good story. Let's hope that the rest of the series continues in the same vein. Now, we've just finished watching A Mask of Mandragora.
Did we?
No, that's the one we're going to watch next. We just finished watching The Seeds of Doom. So tell us about The Seeds of Doom, Alicia.
It's about a pod that the kind of branchy thing comes out and attacks a human being, and it turns them into a plant called a crinoid, and they try to defeat it. Of course, there's another pod, Mr. Chase, a mad man that's crazy about plants. So had a pod and he wanted to keep it alive, and the scientist person had got affected by it, but they didn't do anything about it. He just let it grow and grow, and it got tall as a skyscraper. And if anybody didn't help it, it would have blown up and put loads of pods all over the world. So that the plants take over, and Mr. Chase got turned into compost.
That was quite a good bit, wasn't it, when he got his comeuppance, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So what did you think of the story? You know, what was your opinions of it? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
And what would you give the Seeds of Doom marks out of 5? TARDIS is out of 5. And
Seeds 5!
You thought it was that good, did you?
Yeah.
Okay, so that must mean it's your favourite story so far.
Yeah.
So
I like cats.
So it's better than Genesis of the Daleks, is it?
Oh, no, I like my Daleks.
No, you're not very good at marking. Oh, you really are. I do enjoy the Seeds of Doom. I think it perhaps could have been sort of squashed into a 4-parter rather than a 6-parter, and it's long and drawn out in some areas, but as a concept and an idea, and I even didn't mind
what about the rumours that's going around at the moment?
Go on, tell me about the rumours that are going around at the moment.
Because in the last episode I said I would like to see Devil, Captain Jack, Rose, was that it?
I can't remember what you said now.
That's what you said, and they probably might be returning. They might. Not definite, but they might return.
To the last episode of the next series.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a spoiler from Outpost Gallifrey, but it might not be a spoiler. It might just be a rumour, so we'll wait and see on that one.
Yeah, because I would really, really look forward to it, so we get to see Rose again and how Doctor and Oscar are. We probably will see the new baby because Jackie was pregnant in the last one, do you remember?
They are time travellers, aren't they? So
yeah,
we might not actually get to see the baby at all.
Baby.
Of course, there were some other rumours, or not so much bits of news, I suppose you'd say, specifically about the Children in Need special.
She is David Tennant and
Peter Davison.
Yeah.
Of course, are doing a special piece for that, and apparently it's rumoured in the papers or somewhere that Sir Peter Davison won't be able to fit into his original costume. So they're saying that
why don't they make a new one then?
Exactly. But they're saying that he's going to be wearing Sylvester McCoy's costume for the
piece. The whole point of coming back and just going in someone else's costume?
No idea, but obviously being 20 years older or whatever it is, he's filled out a little bit, as we do as we get older, but he hasn't filled out that much.
Or just lose some weight.
And I don't think he's going to bother losing weight just to do one little Doctor Who piece of Children in Need. But what they could do is just make a new costume for him that's slightly bigger. I think that's the idea, really.
Or try and get the exact piece of costume, but in a different size.
That's what I just said.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Now, I did mention The Mask of Mandragora just a minute ago. It's the first part, or first story, from Tom Paker's third series.
Is it in Antarctica?
What, The Mask of Mandragora? No, it's, you'll find that when you watch the story. It's a 4-part story, which we'll probably be talking about in the next Doctor Whovian podcast, which will hopefully be next week.
Yay.
So, is there anything else Doctor Whoey you'd like to discuss?
Hooey.
Any rumours you've heard at school or anything like that about what you're saying? Very reliable source of information, as we've said before. Slightly more reliable than I thought it was originally. I'll take that as a no then, shall I?
Well, I've seen some monsters that I know that's going to be in this coming up, the TV series.
Have you? Go on then.
I don't know what it's called. It's
Got the Ood.
The
Sontarans are coming back.
It's a new monster. That's why it's kind of a human kind of bird.
They do look a bit humany.
Because
human in the costume, haven't they?
You know the Doctor Who adventure cards, trading cards.
No, but go on.
Well, I've seen that on it, and it says this coming series on it.
Really? Well, there you go. That's
so it might be. So
it?
If I am right, see.
No, we'll wait and see, won't we? Something to look forward to, I say. But I have to say, I have criticised the Who cast quite a lot recently, but the last two episodes are back on track, back on form. Can't wait for the next one again. Really, really good. And there weren't any boring interviews this time. Last time I criticised him for the interview with Paul Cornell being 45 minutes too long. Now it was 45 minutes too short this time. But that's not a criticism. It's just he's a very fascinating man, and I like listening to him. And certainly more Colin Baker. Try and get Peter Davison on again. Let's get some doctors. But if they could get David Tennant, they haven't had David Tennant on yet.
We could.
How could we get? I know we apparently the David Tennant's agent lives in Cowes.
Yep.
This shop or that shop.
Yeah, we should go. We should go to David Tennant's agent and try and get his number and phone him up.
Yeah, that'd be a real coup. But I think I've got a funny feeling that being he's in his contract, he's probably not allowed to talk to people.
No. But say we're interviews. We're trying to make it good for little kids like me.
Yeah, but I think it's very unlikely that we're going to get to ever meet David Tennant.
No.
So we'll just have to live with that fact.
No.
But, yes, it would be quite nice if we could get a Doctor Who celebrity via Alistair's connections. Or maybe one go to a convention.
Or a Doctor Who writer. Or a Doctor Who anybody. Or the Doctor Who Dalek voiceover. Or anybody that's rolled in Doctor Who.
Well, that's something we can look forward to perhaps in the future and hope that we can get hold of somebody connected with the show. I mean, I do speak to Kenneth Kendall at least once a week. He was in a story called The War Machines, which we watched a long time ago.
Why didn't we get Lou on it?
The trouble is, when I asked him about it, Kenneth Kendall, that is, he said, oh, yes, but it was a very long time ago, and it sounded to me like he'd forgotten he was even in it.
What about Lou?
Lou, yes, I could ask Lou. Lou Bates was an extra in Paradise Towers.
Yeah, we could ask her how did it feel and all that to be with it.
I think I'd better get you to ask her if she'd actually do a little interview about what it's like to be an extra on Doctor Who and what Sylvester McCoy and Bonnie Langford were like to work with. That's something I did think about the other day, but I thought, no, I can't ask her that. She'd be too embarrassed. But anyway, this is something we're rambling on a little bit. This is supposed to be a short podcast. And we're going to end it there. And this is going to be a very rare situation for us because you're actually going to be at the beginning and the end of one of our podcasts.
Oh, yay!
So this is the end of the podcast, Isabella. You're not Isabella, are you? Magic. So this is the end of the podcast, Alicia. So, I'm going to leave you with the last word. I'm going to say goodbye, and this is Alicia signing off the Doctor Whovian mini-podcast, Episode 5. Go on, Alicia. Here we go.
Bye.
And finally, we get to the part of the show where the show goes a bit downhill.
Shut up, Dad. Introduce
the podcast saboteur herself. Yes, it's Alicia.
Hi.
And you've been really looking forward to making this particular contribution to the show today, haven't you?
Yes.
Yes. Your acting abilities are gradually diminishing.
What? How did I didn't hear the word?
Acting abilities.
What were you doing? What did you talk about?
Yeah, I said you were really looking forward to doing this part of the show. Pointing the microphone away from yourself.
I was.
On it doesn't hurt. And closing it down. Can't you just sit there and hold on to the thing like normal people? Am I moving mine?
Yes.
Anyway, so we need to do a couple of regular things we haven't done over the last, well, certainly last week where we were stuck in Southport. Did you enjoy Southport?
Yes.
Did you do any Doctor Who related things whilst we were away?
God's sake, go on, Dad.
You didn't, did you?
Go on, Dad. Explain your Doctor Who thing.
Boring. I've already done that, unfortunately. We did it earlier on in the show while you were at school. So the
listeners, school was much better.
So the listeners could actually hear the subject matter of the podcast.
Shut up, Dad. That's
a good idea to actually talk about it when you weren't around.
Dad, was Isabella on the interview?
Nope, she was being a very good girl. Can you stop rocking the microphone? She was being very... All the listeners are going to hear is... and a little bit of you in the background.
Go on.
She's been a very good girl. She's just sitting in here watching Boomerang.
No, when you were doing the interview with the person.
Yeah.
She was involved.
Just stood next to me, yeah. No, she just stood next to me. Anyway, news. We've had quite a lot of news since we've been away. Sarah Jane Adventures. Oh, for Christ's sake.
Do we need to be our bait?
Can you just not MSN just for a few minutes, please? Right, Sarah Jane Adventures was CBBC's top programme for the week, and it topped the charts. CBBC charts with 0.67 million viewers. I thought that used to get about a million viewers.
What?
Sarah Jane Adventures.
It did.
Mm. And you know, we were a few weeks ago getting a bit confused with the titles of Seeds of Doom and Seeds of Death. Seeds of Doom being Tom Baker's story, which you have reviewed earlier on in this in this episode via our transportation back to 2007 and the most recent DVD release, which I'm currently watching at the moment, well, as far as the bonus features are concerned. The other one, Seeds of Death, is actually being released on DVD in February.
Mm.
Oh, hang on. No, it was released in February 2003. It says, To Entertain have confirmed that the third story in the Revisitations 2 box set will be the second Doctor story, Seeds of Death. I've already got that on DVD.
Okay. Did you need it then?
No, no, well, no, not really. I expect they're just going to release it with lots of new bonus features just to annoy everybody who's already bought it.
Sarah Jane Adventures was really good this week.
Yeah, well, moving on to that, I just wanted to talk about the news. Sarah Jane Adventures has been nominated for an award in the BAFTA Television Awards, the Children's Awards, sorry, BAFTA Children's Television Awards. Daily Telegraph have made False Gods, the Big Finish story, a free download on their website, and that was on the 25th of October, so I've missed out on that one. Unless anybody knows otherwise, I can actually go to their website and download it, because I wouldn't mind having the free story. And Doctor Who is one of the programmes up for nomination for the annual People's Choice Awards.
Ooh.
And SFX Magazine have had an interview with Russell T Davis, and the filming for the new series was back in Cardiff today, and I'm not going to say much about that because it's a bit spoilerish. Daily Telegraph, we have been informed that due to unforeseen circumstances, a free download of False Gods, what I've just mentioned, reported earlier on this week, as I just mentioned, planned for this coming Saturday's edition of the Daily Telegraph has just been postponed. An article in Big Finish, however, will be still included in the paper. Well, what the? I've just completely wasted time mentioning that, haven't I? They might as well have just deleted that feature from this blooming thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Children in Need.
Woo!
Children, they've got a Christmas promo that's being shown on Children
in
Need.
I like Children in Need. I'm a supporter of that.
Mm. But I must prefer when they actually used to do special little sketches for Children in Need rather than just showing little previews of the Christmas special. However, I am looking forward to the sneak preview, which will be shown on the 19th of November on BBC One.
I liked it when they did the one with David Dennett and Catherine Tate.
No. I like the one when they did the one with David Tennant and Peter Davison.
And that was last year's one, wasn't it?
No, that was one year before. Uh-huh. Last year they just showed a sneak preview of the Christmas special, and the year before that they just showed a sneak preview of the Christmas special.
I like the Catherine Tate one, that was funny.
The 1996 Doctor Who movie finally gets its North American release on February the 8th, 2011. And then we got the Sarah Jane Adventures, which is the one that's on today, actually, if you want to watch it in a minute. We'll obviously report about
what
it on this
it?
Episode. Episode one of the new story. Do you see what it's called? Empty Planet.
CBBC?
Empty Planet. That's
yeah, but I want to watch The Holiday, sorry.
So you don't want to watch Sarah Jane Adventures?
Not tonight, I'm not in the mood.
What a surprise.
Yeah, because we watched it last night, so I'm not in the mood now.
And the most recent bit of news reported yesterday is that, very sadly, that the writer Mervyn Hazeman has passed away. He was a writer initially for the Patrick Troughton era, on Abominable Snowmen,
oh.
Web of Fear, which introduced the Brigadier, and then at Dominators. So the man who introduced the Brigadier to Doctor Who has passed away, so that's...
Oh!
We've got to thank him for, haven't we? Apart from Nicholas Gordon, we have to thank
just why on the subjects of Brigadier, in the third year, which is, again...
A mention of him, and a quick...
Yeah, he's stuck in Peru!
Yeah, that was a bit silly, really, wasn't it?
He's always stuck in Peru. Mm. Can't he be stuck
I
somewhere else?
Why they haven't decided on to make Benton a Brigadier and having, you know... Or you know, a Brigadier rather than the Brigadier. They could have Benton back, and they started Benton.
Benton!
Right, you can now talk about Sarah Jane Adventures, the
brilliant,
Death of the Doctor.
Brilliant, 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 brilliant.
Yes, unusually, while one of these things was actually on the television, Alicia didn't have the computer on, the phone on, or anything. She actually sat and watched it, and I did glance across at her a few times and noticed she was actually smiling on a couple of occasions. And She does. It does take a lot of effort for her to smile.
Shut up.
So it was quite an astounding event in itself. So what do you think were the bits in your mind that comes to you and makes you think, oh, that was really, really good? What are your favourite bits of the show? Today, be nice.
Matt Smith bits. Oh, yeah, when, Joe entered the room and she had that clumsy scene. That was funny.
That was very...
I think it's just the whole episode. It's a bit sad that K-9 wasn't really in it. Because
mm-hmm.
I thought I was looking forward to if K-9 met his new master.
Yes, and it would have been good to have an interaction between Matt Smith's Doctor and K-9 as well.
You
that
see
was,
how
it
did.
Disappointing, wasn't it?
Yes.
That was the only disappointing part of it. I think there was too much, perhaps, although I really enjoyed it, of these little flashback scenes for both Sarah and Joe. That's about it, really. So I think we can both say that was probably a 10 out of 10, 5 out of 5, best, one of the best. But I'm not sure whether it was good because it was what it was, because it had all the sort of the things that the fans are like, or whether it was really that good a story.
I just realised something, but I'll tell you after the podcast. Megan still hasn't come for a blazer.
God.
So can you hold this? It's getting on my nerves.
Well, it's a microphone.
Yeah, but can you hold it?
No, I can't hold
my
both of them.
My hands cramp.
Well, just hold it. That's it. That's fine.
Well, I put it in there.
What was it like? You just knocked it. And you cover it up with the computer keyboard.
Not this.
Anyway, I asked you a legitimate question. And you've gone off. And you're covering the microphone with your arm.
No!
On the computer.
There you go.
Right, I just wanted to ask you. Earlier on, we played a bit where... what were we doing? Oh, yes. Talking about the Seeds of Doom, the most recent Doctor Who story with the crinoid, yes? Remember that one? They go to the Arctic, or whatever it is, and a pod's there, and it gets attached to a human who then turns into a plant. Yes? Do you remember?
Yes, yes.
You do remember?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Yes, because when you did the review 3 years ago, you remembered quite a lot of it, and you actually did a really good review of it. And it's only 3 years ago, you should really, really be able to remember quite a lot of it. In my view, anyway.
Giant ant one. Want to find the giant ant
we
in
have
the cupboard.
Had very, very limited amount of feedback.
In my notes,
it says we haven't had any feedback, but we have had this from somebody on Facebook called Harry Van Oudnos.
Van Oudnos.
And he said, just listening to the podcast, nice job on it. At least the girls are being somewhat cooperative this time. I don't know if the word cooperative is
funny.
In there, because that's where I work, or it was just a coincidence. But thank you, Harry. At least somebody contributed some feedback. It might be because I didn't actually put in the feedback addresses in the last episode, possibly. Right, I think we'd better do eBay. What do you think? Right. I'm just going to go off and MSN.
I'm listening to you.
Right, and just also, if you could provide me with some feedback for this episode.
Yeah, that's a bit rubbish, that was.
Bearing in mind that the first 40 minutes of the episode didn't have hardly any of the modern day Alicia in it. Or should we just talk about the first 20 minutes when she won in at all? How you thought might I actually manage to do the show on my own, and whether we could actually run like that? Because it might be quite better for me to just run the show on my own and occasionally have Alicia on it when she happens to be around. What are you hitting?
No! No!
You don't want to do it, you just want to go on MSN. Do you see me MSNing whilst I'm trying to do the podcast?
Yeah, but Mel's an important person.
So that means, listeners, you're not very important to Alicia. I think that says it all, doesn't it? Mel is an important person, listeners are not.
Hello, listeners. Take that.
We're bound to have paperbacks on eBay selling at vastly inflated prices. So not really worth looking at those.
I might take that. We could get a ticket.
Yeah. 4 hours of my life wasted. Trying to get tickets if you take that.
Actually,
very miserable
2 hours, 3 hours of my life wasted.
Yeah, I've got a very miserable wife because I wasn't able to get tickets to take that. Hey, hon.
Yeah.
Right, let's have a look at this Doctor Who on eBay thing you do have to find the... Where's the thing where you can change what it looks like? Here? It's not working! Oh, isn't it? Now, I would imagine that the thing that we've been talking about week after, you're covering the microphone with your sleeve.
Oh,
you're
God.
Rubbing your sleeve across the microphone. That is a very sensitive...
Yes, but I don't know where
audio.
To put it! There?
Put the computer down and hold the microphone, even with both hands.
A bit hurt. But I thought you said that's gone off bed.
You are the most useless co-host ever
it's gone
on
off.
A podcast.
You said it's gone off bed and that's still on there.
We've relisted it. It says 21 days on it. Doctor
Who,
rare,
buy
unique
it.
Collection of videos and more. But now, £5,000. They really are hogging that top spot for most useless or over-inflated item ever to be shown on eBay. Absolutely ridiculous. Right, let's have a look and see what's the most highly bidded thing. There we are.
It's always Daleks, ain't it?
No, it isn't on this occasion, I don't think. Let's not flip down too far. Uh-huh. Yes, it is a Dalek. It's a Dalek full size. What's that again? Dalek full size Dur NSD Prop 2. Looks quite good actually. It's a Dalek. Two bids. And what do you think? How much do you reckon? You're not looking at it. So how much? Go on quickly.
£900. £925.99.
You've upset the dogs doing that stupid noise. You've got the microphone upside down, right? Or have you? I don't know, actually. I don't know where the mic is on this camera.
Sure.
Yes, we're recording using cameras. No, it's at the top. So you had it upside down. So none of what you were saying is likely to have been recorded then. And now you try and close the damn thing down. Just put it like that.
Oh, there you go. Right.
Yeah. I do apologise. Well, obviously it's done you a favour in a way if you haven't been able to hear her. Yes, the next one is Police Box Prop, TARDIS Doctor. And that's currently running at £920. And then we have... quite a long way down. Can you tap on your keyboard a little bit quieter? God's sake. Honestly, listeners.
I'm hungry.
Did you notice this, Willow? In the first half of the show, I was considerably calmer and less stressed.
How itchy head.
Are there any other co-presenters in the world of Doctor Who podcasting that do the stupid things she does? No, I think it's probably the answer to that. I'm going to have to try and get not a replacement, but a third presenter that can actually talk Doctor Who and doesn't go on MSN while the show is actually running. I've travelled so far down the list, I've gone off the page. It's not a third one worth listing. So that's eBay this week.
Aww, that's a bit boring, Dad.
Sorry about that. Just nobody wants to buy any Doctor Who items this week. Let's have a look further down my list of nudie beauties. Of course, with the current series of Sarah Jane Adventures running, we won't be doing our Series 7 review until Sarah Jane Adventures finishes. So, we've not got a lot to go actually, Sarah Jane. We're well past halfway now, so it won't be long before we return to the usual format. No podcast of the week this week because I haven't been listening to the podcasts because I didn't want to hear any reviews of The Death of the Doctor. So, sorry. Back to normal, like I say, next week. And, oh, there was one thing I wanted to play you, actually. What's your name again?
Alicia Kathleen Russell in person.
Yeah, there was something I wanted to play you. I hope it's on this thing. It's a bit of audio from an episode of The TARDIS Tavern.
Oh.
Yes. Do you want to hear it? Hello?
Yes.
Right. Let's play it then.
Do you ever listen to 20 Megabyte Podcast?
Yeah, occasionally.
You know, because I actually talked to Adam recently. Did you know that?
Wait, I thought Wendell was on that show.
I sent feedback once.
So recently?
No, not recently.
Like last two episodes.
Well, actually, I talked to Adam about when Wendell was on there. Did you want to hear my conversation?
Please.
Wow, that was another great 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Adam and Alicia always do a great job. Oh, that reminds me. Let's get Omega's antimatter transporter programmed here and kick it! Hi, I'm Wes from the Omega Podcast.
I'm Adam.
Oh yeah, I totally know that. I'm a big fan of you folks. I think families doing podcasts together are cool. Hey, speaking of family, I heard the Wendell impersonation you did.
Oh, he's great. I love Wendell.
It was funny, but I need to ask a favor of you. See, as Wendell's little brother, it's always been my job to imitate Wendell, and if you do it, well, then it kind of looks like I'm not doing my job. So I am respectfully asking you to let me take that job back. Sound okay?
Oh, he's great. I love Wendell.
Great. I was worried there. See, if you didn't agree, I was going to have the Gel Guards take you to our cloister room to watch Battlefield Earth, starring John Travolta, and watch it for 24 hours straight. Thanks for being so...
And Wendell. And Wendell can say, well, Wendell's a most laid-back podcaster in the whole of the...
Gel Guards. Please take our guest to the cloister room for the Battlefield Earth marathon. No, you can't do an anal probe on him.
Whole of the planet. He falls asleep by delivering his podcast.
Just a little? Okay, but make sure to do a memory wipe on that part. All right, now back to some Halo Reach.
So wait, Gel Guards play Halo Reach?
Oh yeah.
You know, Adam actually does a pretty good Wendell. But it sounds like Wendell when, like, I would imagine if Wendell were drunk and hungover.
I haven't been drunk and hungover for 5 years. So I don't know, but when I'm doing the podcast, I'm usually just waking up.
That's what meth will do to you.
So what do you think about then, Alicia?
Did you actually talk to him?
What class I met that away. What do you think? Did it not sound like I was talking to him?
No.
Why do you ask any questions? Of course I was talking to him. Well, you could quite clearly... Anyway, what do you think?
I wasn't on it, so I don't care.
The TARDIS tavern invited us to have a drinky pinky in their lovely little pub. But unfortunately...
Oh, where's the pub?
Can I finish what I'm saying?
No!
Unfortunately, they've also invited Alicia along, more fool them, and there are slight issues in people under the age of... Well, in this country it's 18, but I don't know, I think it's 21, serving alcohol. So unless their pub has got a soft drinks bar that she can work behind, there might be a little bit of a problem.
What, do they own a pub?
I don't think they own the pub. I don't know. Nevertheless, we've been invited to go along. But I think it would be more advisable.
Can I work? What do you mean work behind a bar?
Serving drinks whilst we're doing the pub.
Yeah.
It's illegal.
I don't care.
However, right. Be better idea if, it's just me. You know what I'm saying? Right. We didn't have much feedback this week.
We know, you just said that.
Because I forgot to post the feedback addresses. So, I'm going to put that right now. You can send us an email at 20megfeedback@hotmail.co.uk. That's the word 20, the word meg, the word feedback, at hotmail.co.uk. You can also send a comment via the Podbean feed, the 20megabytepodcast.podbean.com. Facebook, we have the friend 20megabytepodcast, who you can find by searching in the normal way, and you can add us, or you can join the group, the 20megabytepodcast, where you can post messages on the wall. We have the Twitter page, which is twitter.com/Adam20MB podcast or Adam20MB podcast. Of course, I've been neglecting my duties on the Doctor Who Alliance, Doctor Who Podcast Alliance forums because I've been away, and hope to put that right very soon. And of course, the DWO forums are around somewhere when I get a chance to go back on those. So those are the methods of feedback, and please provide us with something. You can even, if you're a friend with me on Facebook, you can even send me a direct message, but I'm not going to go on about that. And I think that sort of more or less concludes the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast for this week. Let's see if Alicia's actually got something valid to say before the show ends. What do you think, Alicia?
About what?
Anything really that's going to be of use to our listeners.
Nothing. I like Matt Smith.
Yeah. What do you think?
Rory and Amy got mentioned.
Did you hear the bit in the episode where Sarah Jane asked the Doctor how he was, because she knew he was regenerating, and how he was at the end?
Yeah.
And what did the Doctor say? So if you were paying attention, she was asking if it hurt, and he said, it always hurts. Okay.
Yeah.
You weren't listening,
don't you? Yeah, I was. I did listen. I think that seems lovely.
I really do look forward to the day to have a co-host, preferably a family member, that actually pays attention and is interested in Doctor Who. Because
I love Doctor Who.
It's quite clear from 3 years ago on the Doctor Whovian podcast that you were actually interested in Doctor Who at that time. Interested in talking about it at least.
I can.
No, you're not. All you're doing is going on MSN. Anyway, hopefully we'll be back on normal schedule next week and be recording the show on a Sunday rather than on a Monday evening. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Why are you shouting down my microphone? You've got your own one.
Bye.
You don't have to shout down it. You just have to be next to it.
Bye.
Who is a trademark of the BBC? No copyright infringement intended.